Times on the winding trail out of the canyon, JB had to call to Christy to slow down.
Spur on like that and the poor beast won't have a run left in him if you need it.
And the galloping man raises more dust than a walking army.
Damned homespun wisdom.
Doc was lumping along on a raw-boned bay mare, his straggly hair blowing in the light breeze. Lori was trying to pick grit out of her eye. Steps Lightly Moon wheeled her pony alongside the tall blonde girl.
Think we'll know any more?
A man might believe he sees everything and discover that he actually sees nothing.
Oh, please.
When Ryan pushed the starter button, nothing happened. He tried it again. There wasn't the least flicker of movement.
Sec lock?
Could be. Shit. Anyone comes around the corner there, they'll take us colder than a well digger's ass. Maybe the gear shift's got... Yeah.
Hoo-yah.
Just keep looking.
Ryan kept one hand on the steering tiller, holding the pistol in his other one. The wind tugged at the gates, making them blow across, half shut. Simultaneously, lights flicked on in the main building.
They just found Strasser.
Jack readied himself to vault out and hold the gates. But the breeze relented, allowing the gates to swing open again. Ryan gunned the engine, knowing that it would only be a matter of seconds before their escape was detected. More lights came on, including big floods all around the parade ground.
The shit's about to fly.
Fucking single shot.
Jack struggled to reload the Prime 45 caliber cartridge. The engine was now racing as Ryan pushed it up through the gears, fighting to hold it as he careered past the front of the museum, onto a trail that snaked down the slope along the western flank of Fort Security, the log walls only feet away from them. A head appeared over the rampart as they watched, silhouetted against the bright spotlights. Ryan snapped off a shot, seeing the man disappear in a spray of bone and brains.
Yeah!
Get down! Can't hope to do anything with that Springfield. There'll be some lead flying real soon now.
Dawn came early out in the desert. Ryan could already see the pale lightning of the sky to the far east, over toward Drowned Squaw Canyon. He'd noticed on the journey to the Secville that the track was rough and rutted. Even with the big wheels of the dune wag, he couldn't hope to make any real speed. Not without the risk of rolling the buggy.
If Strasser's alive, my guess is he's pissed. He's gonna throw everything after us, regardless of the risk.
For some reason, Ryan suddenly recalled the items in the Cavalry Museum on the Fetterman Massacre. The soldiers had been carried away with the thrill of pursuing what they thought was an easy target and had run blind-eyed into the jaws of the trap, victims of the cunning of High Backbone of the Mini-Kanju and Red Cloud of the Sioux. As Fort Security boiled into furious life behind them, Ryan thought more about the story of the Fetterman Massacre. Strasser was carried along in a haze of white anger. He struck out indiscriminately at anyone who got in his path. He fumed at the thought that such a puling boy had beaten him, sprung Ryan from his cell. Sergeant McLaughlin narrowly avoided being punched to the ground when he came rushing to the general's quarters for orders. His first shock was seeing the sec boss without the mane of yellow hair. The scraped skull with its fringe of sparse black hair made him blink in amazement.
Don't stand there like a fucking frog with a needle in its belly! I want every man in the fort mounted and ready to leave in 15... No, in 10 minutes. Gatling gob everything.
They got for doing why, General?
I know that, you bastard stoop. But it's been giving us trouble for weeks. We'll take them far. Get moving and get ready.
The tall man moved stiffly, holding his stomach as though he had a chronic attack of indigestion. There was a large bruise just behind his left ear, and a worm of brown blood was smeared across the sharp planes of his cheeks. McLaughlin stood rooted to the floor of the office, fascinated by the intensity of madness that glittered in the deep-set eyes of the general.
You got 5 seconds to obey my orders, Sergeant. Then I gut shoot you and find someone else who can do like they're told!
Sure, and I'm gone, General.
Ryan's guess was that they'd only made about 5 miles before the dune wag died on them. There wasn't any warning, no spluttering or coughing. It simply cut out, rolling quickly to a halt on an upgrade. Jack hopped out of the back seat.
Want to look at engine?
No time. I reckon that Strasser will turn out every segment in the place after us. Best bet's that he'll be right here in less than a half hour. We gotta get while the getting's good.
35 minutes later, Strasser, wig back in place, immaculately uniformed, held up a gloved hand at the side of the abandoned buggy. He checked his wrist chron.
Can't be far behind him. Tracks are easy to follow.
The dawn wind had fallen away as the day began to brighten, and the tracks of the two fugitives stood out like splashes of blood on a white satin bedsheet. Strasser stood in the stirrups, peering over the neck of the stallion. McLaughlin heeled his own horse nearer, realizing that the general was in better spirits. McLaughlin felt more cautious of Strasser now than he had when the general had been in a devouring rage.
We push on, General?
Fucking right we do.
The sergeant eyed the low ridge of a line of buttes a couple of miles ahead of them, with a weaving nest of trails through their center.
You don't maybe think it could be a trap, General?
I think I hate nothing more than a coward, Sergeant. That's what I think.
The gloved fist fell to the butt of the Stetchkin pistol. McLaughlin nodded, frightened to speak, in case his voice vanished in a squeak of fear. The cloud of dust from the cavalry patrol of nearly 50 men rose in a gentle spiral, circling in the desert air, warning Ryan and Jack that their pursuers were gaining fast. The thought of the long-range Russian sniper's rifle he'd seen in Strasser's room was worrying Ryan. Already the Sekhmet had closed to within a little more than a mile of them. On horseback, over rough terrain, they'd run them down in less than a half hour. The ridge was invitingly close, but there was only more desert on the other side. There was no possibility at all of their reaching the safety of the rancheria before Strasser caught up with them, or before they were within easy range of his blaster.
Over there!
Strasser reined in at the yell, following the man's pointing finger. He sat, gazing out across the barren wilderness for several seconds, before he located the two tiny specks that were moving toward the lower slopes of the buttes.
Hit them with a rifle, General!
No, Sergeant. I want to see their faces. Watch them and smell them and taste them. See their eyes when they see death grinning at them.
They'll be over the rise yonder, General.
So will we, Sergeant. Sooner the better. Bugler! Sound the charge!
Jack fell again, rolling against a pile of loose stones, feeling the sharp pain in his ribs.
Did that mean what Tink means?
Yeah. Only hopes to make the crest of the butte. Hold them off for a while from there.
Gotta be 50 of them. We only got carbine and 10 rounds. 3 handguns. Won't take long. Can ride right over us, Ryan.
Ryan hauled the boy up, holding him with an arm around the shoulders.
Yeah, no. Nobody's that fucking happy to get themselves chilled. They'll stop when we open fire on them.
Then what?
Shoot off all our ammo and chill as many of the bastards as we can. Maybe even take Strasser off the earth.
And then what?
Then, when it's all done, I put one through the back of your head, and then kiss the barrel of the 6-hour. Leave him dead meat.
Sweet. I'll go with that, Ryan.
Sergeant McLaughlin spurred his horse to the side of the general.
They're nearly at that top, General.
We'll get them first. Be just like Custer at the Little Bighorn. Won't quite make it to the top.
But the terrain was more difficult, and the patrol had to slow, giving Ryan time to try and drag the albino over the rim.
Come on, Jack. We can make it. We got it. We're over.
As Ryan thrust them both over the top of the rim, he lost his footing, and they both tumbled and rolled down the far side for several long moments. Coming to a stop, Ryan found himself staring at a horse's hoof inches from his face. His eyes traveled upward.
Hello, lover.
We got a ridge to defend. Now!
Nice to see you, too.
Let's move it!
Now, my warriors!
There was now enough firepower to make the cavalry turn back in some disarray. At least 6 of the Sekhmet went down under the sudden hail of lead, but the rest were able to take cover in a snaking arroyo that ran parallel to the line of buttes. Ryan had left Jack in the arms of Steps Lightly Moon before he scuttled back up the rise. There he had been joined by JB, who showed his delight by favoring Ryan with one of his rare smiles. Doc had quickly shaken his hand, while Lori kissed him on the cheek. At the Lowland gunfire, Christy kissed him, long and hard on the lips. The shaman smiled, the sunlight flashing off his glasses, and Cuchillo Oro drew the golden cincada and hurled it spinning into the air, catching it by its jeweled hilt.
This is it! The chance to take them all! One chance!
By the 3 Kennedys! They have a Gatling gun!
have a whoremonger!
Nope. They have a jammed Gatling gun. Go on, Ryan. Tell us the plan.
Despite his ravening thirst for revenge, Strasser still held enough shreds of sense to know that he would never drive his SecMen up that hill into the teeth of rifle fire from the defenders. For the time being, he had to wait, contenting himself with sending gallopers out to both sides of the long ridge to warn him if his prey tried to slide away. The buttes ran too far for him to be able to surround Ryan and the others. The skirmishing line covered most of the one long side, with his men hidden behind the tumbled boulders. The shooting was irregular, with neither force wanting to take the risk of offering targets to the enemy. It was past noon before there was any change in the status quo. One of the cavalry gallopers came bursting up to Strasser in a cloud of dust.
Hostiles are withdrawn, sir!
At that moment, Ryan and Jack showed themselves on the crest of the butte, pouring in a burst of lead at the SecMen below.
How many fuckers gone?
A dozen or so, General. Two white women with them. One redhead, one yellow. Can't be many left up there.
You're a chicken shit, General. Hiding behind your double stoop scum. You got no belly for a firefight.
Strasser reached for his Russian-made rifle, easing it around the corner of his cover. But there was no sign of anyone on the ridge.
What do we do, General?
We wait until I say to move.
Sure thing, General. Sure thing.
There was Ryan, Jack, his ribs restrapped by the shaman, JB, and four of the oldest of the Mescalero warriors, including many Winters and Stones in Face. Cuchillo Oro had led the others back to the canyon to put the most important part of Ryan's plan into operation. The immensely tall wise man of the tribe, clutching a decorated Sharps rifle, also insisted on remaining behind with Ryan's group.
Will they attack?
Can't tell. We gotta hold them here another hour or so, then break for the rancheria and lead them after us.
This yellow hair, General Strasser. He is the knight.
Yeah, and I'm the day.
No?
No?
You are the knight as well, One Night Shields.
Then what's the difference between me and Court Strasser?
One night, a little child might walk fearlessly through a darkling wood. On another night, an armed man will tremble with terror on an open plain, swept with confusion. That is the difference between Strasser and yourself.
They're moving, Ryan. Guess Strasser thinks he's waited long enough. Looks like he's... Yeah, he's gonna split them and come around both sides.
Fireblast. We need a half hour more. How in the hell can we slow the bastards down?
I will do it.
The shaman turned to the old man and said something in the Apache tongue. Something that sounded like a question. The warrior turned his lined face up to man whose eyes see more, looking past him and to an infinite distance. He said something and then moved away.
Don't tell me. He said that it was a good day for him to die.
Yes. You are learning our language fast, One-Eye Chills.
No. I'm learning something about Indians.
Many Winters was helped onto his pony by Jack, who handed him the coup stick, a pole 10 feet long, decorated with bands of color and with the feathers of eagles. Each mark, Ryan knew, indicated some past honor. The old man took the battered Winchester rifle from its bucket by the saddle, throwing it to the earth. He drew a broad-bladed knife from its deerskin sheath and dropped it on top of the blaster.
What are you doing?
The honor comes from riding against the Bluecoats without any weapon.
Bastards are chilling.
That seems to be the idea. A man knows when it's his moment to join the spirits of his ancestors. For many Winters, the moment's right now. And it'll definitely puzzle the bastards down there. Maybe buy us the few minutes we need. Get ready to pull out the moment the old man buys the farm.
Would you look at that, General?
What?
Yonder. Come on over.
I see him, Sergeant.
His long hair braided, holding the feathered coup stick, Many Winters kicked his heels into the flanks of his pony and began to move slowly down the sloping face of the butte toward the watching SecMen. Ryan and the other remaining men on the ridge readied themselves for the final withdrawal toward the rancheria. Many Winters was halfway toward the SecMen, and still no shots had been fired. Down on the flat desert, Court Strasser called for someone to pass him his Russian rifle, then steadied the long gun on a convenient boulder, centering the crosshairs of the sight on the chest of the advancing Indian. His right index finger tightened on the trigger, but he still didn't fire. Many Winters was more than 3/4 down the hillside, his eyes turned blindly toward the sun.
Shoot him, General!
Strasser's concentration slipped for a moment. When he looked again, the Apache had vanished for a moment into a dip in the trail.
Fucking savage.
Strasser lowered his rifle. The biting anger for the way the Whitehead kid and Brian had fooled him was still close to fever heat. Many Winters appeared for a moment between two pinnacles of weathered stone. Hastily, Strasser lifted the rifle and snapped off a shot. The bullet missed the Apache by a good yard.